If you take a walk around the busy streets of Santiago, you'll see some of Alejandro Aravena's best work, from the children's play area in the Bicentennial Park to the huge concrete slabs that he used to build the Innovation Centre at the Catholic University. When I went to meet the charismatic 48-year-old, he started off by explaining what architecture means to him.
Architecture is about giving form to the places where we live. And in that process of giving form, you can condemn people to an awful quality of life, or you can improve that quality of life.
Alejandro and his team at his architecture practice, Elemental, decided to improve the quality of life for people. They were pitching for a project where the challenge was to rehouse 100 families who'd been squatting illegally on half a hectare of land in the centre of Iquique in northern Chile. The government's housing subsidy of $7,500 per family was nowhere near enough to buy the land and build new homes, particularly on such a valuable site. The usual solution would have been to relocate the residents to the outer suburbs, cutting them off from their families, friends and jobs. But Alejandro and his colleagues decided to take a different approach. With the help of Andres Iocovelli, a transport engineer he met while teaching at Harvard, Alejandro decided to look at the problem in a different way.
He was saying things like, OK, there's not enough money here, and evidence shows that a middle-class family can live reasonably well in around 80 square metres. So we can only deliver 30 to 40 square metres.
Because that was the money that was available in the form of subsidy from the government.
That's the available money. At the time, I'm talking about $7,500 with which we had to buy land, provide infrastructure and build a house. In the best of the cases, 30 to 40 square metres. What the market was doing with that built area was look at a housing solution as a small house. And the only thing we did, looking at the desirable size as 80 square metres, was why don't we think of 40 square metres, not as a small house, but as half of a good one. When you reframe the problem as half of a good house instead of a small one, the key question is, which half do we do? Let's focus on what a family won't be able to do on its own over time. The key question in social housing is, where is social housing?
So rather than shoving poor people onto the outskirts of a town where they don't have access and it takes them ages to get to work, you wanted them in a good location.
Well, that's the disaster we were trying to correct. So we were looking for the housing policy to become a tool to overcome poverty and not just a shelter against the environment. In that sense, housing could be seen as a social investment and not just a trying to solve a social cost.
Apart from a good location, Alejandro and his team decided to concentrate on the parts that would be hard for owners to build for themselves. The basic concrete frame, the kitchen, the bathroom and a roof. Since that first project in Iquique, his team have built around 2,500 so-called half houses in different parts of Chile and also in Mexico. Alejandro Soria lives in a white three-story house in a little cul-de-sac with 12 other houses. This is part of a larger project for 150 people in Lobanachea in Santiago. In 2009, the government gave each family around $10,000 for the house, and they had to put just over $1,000 of their own money towards the house, which took many years of saving. I want to know how living in one of Alejandro's social houses has changed her life.
Well, for me and my family, it is so important to finally be able to have a house we can call our own. I was being relocated from the house I was renting, and the other residents were living in temporary accommodation. They often had four or five children and lived in around 18 square metres. Now we all have a lot more space. All the children living in these houses finally get to have their own bedrooms and a lot more privacy. There are no more leaking roofs when it rains and muddy floors. The roof doesn't shake when it's windy. So now we don't have to worry about life in winter.
We're sitting in your very pretty sitting room come kitchen. It's got brick red walls. It's very cosy. It's quite kind of bohemian. I mean, this kind of thing would be expensive in London or Berlin or someone like that. What was it like when you arrived?
They built the kitchen and bathroom first, and then we decided to work with the same building company to build some more floors and an extra bedroom.
Is it possible to have a look? Can we go and look upstairs?
Sí,
that's it. So we've got wooden stairs, we're just going up.
This is our spare room. It's a bit messy because we're using it to store things at the moment. And here's the bathroom. Considering this is social housing, the bathroom is a really good size. And upstairs on the third floor, we have a big double bedroom for me and my husband. This house is 60 square metres in all.
So one very happy customer. But what interests me is why Alejandro and his dynamic young team choose to focus on this kind of work when other architects pick more glamorous topics.
I really don't know. I mean, this kind of thing that I feel is just right. We're not particularly good people. We'd like to tackle issues that matter, problems that are relevant, so that when you go to sleep, you felt that your day was filled with things that may have made a slight change in people's life. You know that you have to do that, but you can't explain it with words.
There are many challenges to being an architect in a Latin American country like Chile. But Alejandro says he realises that it's a very good training ground. He describes it as an environment of scarcity and a country of extreme poverty, extreme deserts and extreme earthquakes. I want to know how that affects his work.
It may be a mixture on concentrating what's more essential if you don't have enough resources, and that you learn to understand and agree with forces that are much larger than yourself, both earthquakes and tsunamis and other forces at play, like a social movement and politics and economy. And this is the kind of thing where you try to find your place and position. You can contribute and eventually qualify people's quality of life.
He chooses to put the challenges of his clients at the heart of his work. And in many ways, this kind of vision exemplifies how architecture, at its best, can improve people's lives. Jane Chambers, DW, Santiago, Chile.